Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
That took a minute.
Yeah, it did. What'd you make?
Just pop?
By hand, did you go down to the old Pepsi factory?
Yeah. So what do they call that? A soda?
Soda stream?
No.
Soda jerk?
Yeah,
there we go.
I jerked some soda.
Yeah, you jerked some soda out of the Pepsi gland.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Oh man, Cole.
Yeah.
Can you do me a huge favor and go to sleepwithmepodcast.com?
Okay.
Yeah. This podcast is amazing. and it's not, I don't know what he talks about, because I always go to sleep.
Is this on some kind of ASMR tip or what?
A lulling, droning, boring bedtime story to distract your racing mind.
So it's great. It's your daily dose of Grandpa Simpson.
It is. I mean, this guy, he bounces. He talks, his voice, he's like Ben Stein with dementia. It's incredible. Like, I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock, had to pee. And I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to fall back asleep. Pop this on, slept till 11.
Oh, wow. That is,
yeah.
That is very late for you.
Leave it constantly running. Yeah, no, it's amazing, Cole. The guy is horribly deriveting.
So here's my question, because I've heard you talk about listening to stuff when you're getting ready to go to sleep. Do you listen with headphones? Do you have like a pillow speaker? Do you just like pump it through a jam box or something, or what?
Well, for guided meditation, I have a preset on my TV. You know how there's like dynamic video game, you know, like all the settings, and then there's like a user setting.
Yeah.
My user setting is everything is set so that the screen is completely black, and I have an LED TV in my bedroom, so I turn off the backlight.
Okay.
And then I play the guided meditation through YouTube on the Apple TV.
Huh.
So, you know, the screen is on technically, the TV is on, but the user setting is to pitch black.
Yeah, so you're just using it as a speaker without a speaker with a screen that doesn't work.
Right. And then if like I'm still up, I just hit I hit the screen setting so that the screen's still on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go to another one with the remote and do it again.
Huh.
But this is powerful. And I'll just give you an example. Episode 354 of this says, climb in bed. Fluff your pillows and prepare to be deriveted by a visit to a water treatment plant.
Starts at 2002. Okay.
He rambles on for the beginning of, I've never once heard the content of a story. I'm asleep before he gets to the water treatment plant.
So you've been trying, but he's so effective.
Oh, Cole, it's incredible.
Huh. So is this a paid endorsement? Are you getting your beak wet on the side?
I don't know. This guy's Patreon. I don't know what he's at. Yeah. I mean, he's like comparable. He's got, like 100 more. People than you. No, more than that. He's got 200 more people than you, but yeah. You're only what, a couple $100 behind him.
Yeah. So we demand a higher price.
But he has one show, whereas you have like what? What are you up to now?
We have 8 on the front page.
Right.
Yeah. No, we're doing it wrong.
I think Dan Benjamin said that too, that he envies people who can have just like the one thing.
That's funny because I was having a conversation with him and he said the exact same thing. Like, if I could only ever have done one show, like that was my biggest mistake, was starting more than one. But like, that's the path to growth, I think. I don't know.
You were having a conversation with who?
With Dan Benjamin.
On what?
In his Slack.
Ludes?
No. In his Slack. I'm part of the 5x5 Slack.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a chat room thing.
Where you guys get together and give handies?
No. He's got a chat room for his for his show, The Podcast Method, and I'm pretty active in there. It's not really a very active community, but I'm in there, and he responds to stuff, and we're talking about his new like hosting platform thing, and you know, he was talking about, yeah, I really wish that I hadn't started more than one show, but like, I want to talk about more than one thing, and it doesn't make sense to have one show where you talk about like video games and the Dark Tower series. Like, you can't go in depth like without alienating somebody, you know?
Right. I mean, here's the thing. There has to be a middle ground between the one woman with this one stunningly gorgeous diamond ring and a grandma full of costume jewelry.
True.
You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying for sure. But also, yeah, like there's a difference between having all these shows and having them be weekly commitments and then doing it the way we do it, which is to gang stuff up, you know, like actually designing the schedule and process to be sustainable.
We have a schedule?
I mean, in terms of like release, we fall from it an awful lot. But like, you know, in general, like, okay, every other week we put out an episode, you know, and sometimes we record one. Today we're recording two. But yeah, like, I think that it's a matter of, you know, finding a balance between, you know, it's a matter of finding moderation in the overhead that you commit to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, for as careful as you are at committing to things, you are seemingly overcommitted, or you like to paint that picture.
Okay.
Because you're always busy.
Yeah. Got to keep the demon dogs at bay, you know?
But are you busy saying you're busy, Cole?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel like,
how busy are you?
I feel like I get a lot done. Not enough, but I feel like I get a lot done.
See, there you go. I think you need to stop being busy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you said that a couple weeks ago.
I do. I honestly believe that.
Huh.
I think you could combine a couple shows.
Hmm.
Like, it'd be very easy to put this in with another show, like with you and Gary. Because Gary would quit, and then it'd just be this show again.
You're taking the network back.
Right.
I don't know. It sucks because like I really enjoy doing shows, and I like at least coming up with the ideas for different shows. And I like, you know, like I'm in talks right now for, you know, expanding stuff and setting up new goals for the Patreon, and like, you know, making inroads toward this being a bigger part of my income and stuff like that. And just, it's fun to talk, and it's fun to, you know, think of new things to like look at and explore and talk about, you know?
Sure. No, I completely agree. You know, I was wind tunneling with Oprah the other day. And
I don't know. It's like,
you've never wind tunneled with Oprah?
No. It's
the only way you can have a real conversation with her. You both stand up while riding in her limo through the skylight and then scream at each other.
It's the only place she feels really, truly alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you seemed really surprised that I speak with Dan Benjamin, but.
No, I didn't know how you don't speak with him.
I mean,
he doesn't text you like, hey, in the bath, want to chat?
Like, we're in a chat room and he responds to me. It just, you reacted very strangely to that.
A chat room these days seems completely foreign to me, because it's been
back,
so
man.
Long since I was like pick for pick, you know.
Pick for pick, it's coming back, man.
Got a 3.5 floppy full of poorly photoshopped Sandra Bullock.
Oh man, cutscenes from The Net. Sandra Bullock has camel toe.
Jesus Christ.
What episode is this?
Episode number 180 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Your name is?
My name is Chris.
My name is Cole. We're here to entertain your asses and to overcommit, I imagine.
Right.
And like me. Think I'm smart. That's all I need. Come on, do it. Do it, you fucker. Like me. Please?
Maybe you could co-host Marin on Mirin.
Would I be the moderator?
You would moderate between Mark Maron and his talking about how good Helen Mirren looks in a bikini.
Oh, I thought that, is that a thing he talks about a lot?
No, he should though.
Well, no, just though she should be very proud.
Everybody should be talking about that still. She's incredible. She's like 100.
Everybody should be talking about how unlikely it is that somebody who is paid for being attractive and paid handsomely for being attractive is able to afford the kind of self-care that enables her to achieve that kind of longevity. It's so incredibly unlikely that all those factors lined up.
Her real name is Helen Mironov.
Oh, they changed it over the island?
Soviet era Russian.
Hmm.
Yep.
Huh. I would not have known that.
Yep. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
V.I. Lenin.
V.I. Lenin.
I am the walrus.
The walrus.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Yep.
It is. Did you hear about that astronaut who said if NASA would listen to him, he could have us on Mars in a month. You want to go to Mars? We'll be on Mars in a month.
Well, is that just the gist of what he said? Like,
that's what it's distilled down to. He's like, I got it. I got this. You need a toe on Mars? Give me a month.
You know, in Martians, they've got plenty of toes. They've got more toes than us. They can spare one. It's fine. Does the if you listen to me portion of that also imply if you give me unlimited money and resources?
No, I don't think he's asking for anything.
He's just like...
He just wants credit. He's like, these fucking guys.
If only this... He's like one of those guys who walks into a job interview saying, I can completely retool your whole organization. I've got all the ideas that are going to be necessary to get you into the next generation of business dynamics. I'm like, okay, well, you know, share something. No, you got to hire me first. Yeah.
I don't know. You walk into an interview. You walk into your interview and you hand out a blank piece of paper to the five people who are interviewing you.
Yeah, it's a power move. It's a power.
See, that's my plan.
Infinite possibilities is what my plan is. You can do anything with that piece of paper. If you think that it's just right for writing, no, you can make a bird out of it or a hat.
Here's a ruler. Here's a ruler and a pencil. I'm going to show you how to put some depth in this plan.
Oh,
put a dot anywhere, I dare you.
Oh man, I love the idea of somebody who's very confrontational about three-point perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the illusion in this illusion. Sleep with me podcast.
Yes. That's that is a very misleading name, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. He doesn't look anything like I thought he would look like.
Nobody does.
Yeah, it's a mix between MDMA and guided meditation. No, ALS. What did you say?
What?
The whisper song? What's the thing you're talking about?
The whisper song. No, ASMR.
Oh. Okay.
No, that's where somebody whispers. They get right up onto the microphone and then they wrestle. They wrestle something. So like here, I've got my ceramic potato full of cough drops. And I'm just gonna.
I thought it was them whispering about unpackaging Apple products.
No. Whispering and unpackaging Apple products does not go line in line. You have to do a like a real heavy wheezing breath and just very short sentence fragments for the way the headphones are assembled. Yeah, no, an unboxing and ASMR. I imagine there is some YouTube channel that does ASMR unboxings, especially like we've talked about haul videos, right?
What?
You know, haul videos, HAUL, haul videos.
Where people come home with shopping bags and go through their shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I went out to the Westfield Mall today, and I came back and I'm going to show you what I got.
Look at what I did.
Yeah, then they take donations and they go shop more. Basically, it's for people who don't understand that there are cam girl sites.
Cam girl?
Oh, come on. You know about cam girls.
No.
That's the name of the all lady fan club for Cam Newton. No, he's a sportsman, right?
Oh, the cam girls, the ones where they do like 30 stills a second. Or a minute, sorry.
No, it's like cam girls. They're women who use their webcams and perform sexual acts, usually to themselves, for an audience of people who will pay them money
or coins. It's not prostitution.
Like, oh yeah, it's a couple levels removed. It's like a free to play game. There are like 17 different currencies before you get to actual money.
You get challenge coins from angel food.
I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of like cam girls. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never done the cam girl thing. I mean, I get the cam girl pop up preview that you get when you're watching what you really want to watch.
Okay, yeah, no, I wasn't asking if you'd done it. I was baffled by the idea that you would not know the term or the concept if I related it to you.
Have you played with this thing called Porn IQ?
No, what is that?
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, it's called Porn IQ.
Okay.
So basically what it is that you go to this site and it gives you options. So like right now it says better, your option is better with age, rough rompings, in the back door, hot porn compiled, or the more the sluttier. So you pick one of those.
Okay.
Which one would you like? Do you want some other options? The next five options, you hit refresh and it says MILF knows best, rough rompings, better with age, the more the sluttier, and college hotties.
Oh, so wait, is this like it's like the Apple Genius or like a recommendation engine? So yeah. So I pulled up, I've got hentai hotties, playing dress up, lusty lesbians, punk rock princess, and female friendly.
Yeah, MILF knows best. Then it leads you to anal, GILFs get down, Euro, BBW, and aged Asians. You click aged Asians, and then you say, you know what? How much time do I want to dedicate to MILF knows best aged Asians? Do I want less than 5 minutes, 5 to 20 minutes, or do I have an afternoon? I have an afternoon.
Who has an afternoon?
Then I get to pick a collection between MILF Japanese mature, Asian mature, or Asian grannies.
So this is just like,
it's curated for your individual whim in a moment.
So this is taking the age old practice of, you know, you got a handful of search terms, right? Depending on how you feel, this is taking that and saying there are possibilities here that your regular search just might not pull up.
Right.
Okay.
You're exploring. It's like Spotify having Discover Weekly.
It's Pandora, yeah. It's Porndora.
What don't you know you like?
Huh. Oh, and then it pulls up individuals. It pulls up like a particular star. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that too.
No, just that, like, that's what my line of inquiry brought me to is a particular woman named I backed up. It's like Angie Marie or something like that.
What is
Daisy Marie? What?
What does CFNM mean?
CFNM?
Hold on a second. CFNM, yes.
Huh.
What does that mean?
Let's go to Urban Dictionary. Clothed female and naked males.
Oh.
There's probably like a power and vulnerability dynamic there, more so than is usually in a. Present.
Oh, femdom. Gotcha. All right.
the fact that you femdom is a funny term to me. Just looking at this here, the top definition for CFNM is like, okay, clothed female and naked males together, and then in the usage it says she's having a CFNM party with 2 exclamation marks.
Good job.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Saggers.
You don't
want that.
I don't understand.
MFC Aspen Ray. What's that?
I don't.
MFC. Splendid from MFC licking.
Most extreme elimination challenge.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, porn IQ.
So I'm curious how, this is interesting. I'm curious how much it's like, because this is part of the venerable Pornhub network. So I don't know. Well, this isn't the normal browser that I use for this particular task. Am I revealing too much about my workflow here? No, I'm curious how much it watches you and how much it's learning by your IP address. Like, hey, you generally like this kind of stuff. So it's doing exactly.
Pornhub or PornMD, Pornhub, that whole universe. They do that anyway.
Yeah. No, they're trying to,
they're curating for you.
Yeah. It is laser targeted. Huh. I don't know. I had not heard of that before.
I've spent a lot of time on there.
they figured out your name. You never gave it, but they just figured it out.
BBW, black women, you know, squashing watermelons on top of pool tables. It's very specific.
Yeah. No, it's pretty much, you get a notification whenever that goes from 2 available videos to 3 available videos.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Women who've suction cupped plungers to their breasts.
look how excited I am.
And a guy holding a gun to the back of a small Asian child, forcing him to play ring toss with them.
That's grim.
Yeah,
that's saying it's not directly sexual.
Don't even get me into the lawnmower genre.
extreme shaving.
Right.
Yeah.
Coin-operated go-karts.
Out in front of the mire.
Right.
I can always count on you to hit me to the latest advancements in this rapidly expanding field.
They're going anywhere and everywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Like American Express.
Yeah.
All right, Cole. I have a story.
Okay, what's your story?
The Consumer Product Safety Commission has released a report in conjunction with the FDA, about injuries related to sex. And I know that there's a show called Sex Sent Me to the ER.
Is there?
Yes. It's about, you know, couples come on and talk about what happened to them. There's dramatic recreations of the event.
It was a one in a million shot, Doc.
You're right. You know, there's like, you know, someone bleeding, laying on their side, you know, in the hospital bed, telling the ER doctor that, you know, it was a mistake, or, you know, it was the drugs.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
It's usually the drugs.
There was some main takeaways from the study. February, the month that we're currently in, the month that you're not listening to this in, is the third highest as far as reported injuries. The most dangerous months are July and April.
So it's not dangerous isn't frequency. It is like the lethality or grievousness of the injuries. Probably like July because of fireworks. I think
it's a combination of, it's both. Yeah. Well, people like to put fireworks places.
Yeah. Lady fingers.
Spice it up.
Yeah.
Like lady fingers, really? Yeah, sex injuries made up less than 0.02% of the 2.3 million injuries during the study period. So it's not super likely.
Depending on the decisions that you make, there are probably some decisions you can make that'll make it much more likely.
The objects that people have been putting places are pencils. Pool balls.
Pencils.
Plunger handles.
It has to be like a sounding thing.
Yeah. No part of the body is safe. Most commonly injured areas are in the pubic area and lower trunk, but there are certainly exceptions. There was one example of a dental injury that occurred when a 19-year-old sex swing broke loose from the ceiling. It also includes reports of injuries to the lower arm. Foreign body is very common, as well as burns, conjunctivitis, nerve damage, and poisoning.
Conjunctivitis.
Isn't that pink eye?
Yeah, that's pink eye. That's when you get shit in your eye.
Hmm.
Huh.
Got some hepatitis.
Hmm.
Got some. What is the new thing with, from the mosquitoes?
Oh, Zika.
Jinxie Mays, or what? What is it?
Oh, Zika.
Yeah, it's killing people. It's killing women. It's killing babies, causing miscarriages. Women are like having abortions because they think their kids have Jinxie Mays disease or whatever. What did you say it was?
Zika virus. Zika. It's totally not a thing. It's just a thing that the media is playing up. Like, unless you live in Brazil and you're a pregnant woman within a certain like couple of spans
in Florida,
it's not going to like, yeah, but like it's just like dengue fever. It'll make you sick for a little bit, but it's not actually going to kill you. Like it's being marketed as the new Ebola. And that is really irresponsible, actually.
Why?
Because it makes because if everybody's always in a panic about diseases that are exotic but won't actually kill you, they're going to be distracted from diseases that will actually kill them.
Who's to say?
I don't know. It seems to make sense to me.
I don't know. These women literally are having babies that have brain damage with the
Yeah, and that's terrible, Zika. and that's sad, and you should probably.
It's going to kill their babies, Cole. I mean, so it's not without risk. It's
I understand, but
there should be some drama associated.
There definitely should be some drama, and I don't want to sound like an insensitive monster as regards microcephalic babies, but you know, whenever I see it mentioned, it is mentioned in the same breath as this is the new Ebola. Should you be worried about this? Will it kill you? When in reality, it only affects an exceedingly small portion of the population.
Pesto is the quiche of the 80s.
Right. It's a mania.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got anything? What do you got? Come on.
Let's do it. Hit me here. What is it? What do you got?
Fist pump.
So speaking of the Consumer Product Safety Board, here's something that's probably going to be going here. Are you familiar with sippy cups, Chris?
I am.
Yeah. Are you familiar with web pages that just automatically play videos when you open them up?
Yes.
Okay, that's what happened here right now.
I have one going on right now.
Yeah. No. Apparently, so like I remember when we grew up, sippy cups, they were just cups that had a small little opening on the top so you could just like suck it out, right? But apparently the technology has gotten a lot more advanced. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got these weird little bivalve systems and seals and things like that. But there is a particular brand that is very popular. It's like a Tommy Tippy or something like that. And you have all these parents on social media that are opening up the interlocking, like fucking eerie canal of valves, at the top of this and just revealing the most hideous mold collections you've ever seen.
Oh yeah. They are like containers for that. They are Petri cups.
Yes. So you got your kid. Yummy, yummy juice, you know, so sip it on their apple juice and they're getting like a dose of like you, just terrible.
Sorry, I was thinking about a juice daddy. What does that even mean? Juice daddy?
You know,
is it a device? Is it gay slang?
Chris, you already used the gay slang. You need to like, include that in an upcoming quiz.
What, a juice daddy?
Yeah.
Well, you'd probably do good if I gave you the answers first.
I suppose. Oh, so yeah, it is a juicer. Also Juice Daddy is associated with vaping, so that's cool. No, but these so drinking or being exposed to like mold, especially in your digestive tract, it'll probably just give you like a tummy ache, unless you're really allergic to it, in which case it will make you wheeze and stuff like that. But why would you want to gamble
wheezing the juice?
Yeah. You broke me.
Wheezing the juice.
So that is that is an alert to so like, and it's funny, like just the story of your own perception around these things, because like, you know, stuff gets moldy if you leave it. Right. And so I see a story about how parents are finding mold in their sippy cups. And I'm like, oh, just fuck you. Clean your shit. And I'm thinking like, oh, that time my water bottle got a little bit too nasty before I recognized I need to clean it every couple of days. Right.
Right.
And then I open this up and I'm like, oh no, there's no way anybody could clean it. Like, you have to cut this open with a razor blade. Like, I went from like immediately prejudiced to calling towards calling them idiots right around to, yeah, this is terrible.
Makes sense to me.
So yeah, empathy, I suppose.
Empathy.
The new fragrance by Cole Ross.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Tell me a story.
Good God.
What?
This is kind of on the nose, but a New York City resident lost his wallet. Lost it. Okay.
Okay. Happens every day, I imagine.
2 weeks after he lost his wallet, a plain white envelope showed up in the mail. He opens the envelope, finds his driver's license, credit cards, and a note. The note reads, I found your wallet and your driver's license, had your address, so here's your credit cards and other important stuff. I kept the cash because I needed weed. The Metro card because, well, the fare is $2.75 now, and the wallet because it's kind of cool. Toodles from Anonymous.
Was the Anonymous capitalized?
Yes.
Huh.
Guy says, I've never been so conflicted about a gesture.
At least he was honest.
It speaks to the New York mentality. I'm going to be nice, but there's going to be an asterisk.
No, I gotta asterisk. Get daddy gotta get his, you know?
Right. Juice daddy gonna get it. Juice daddy gonna get his.
Absolutely. No, it's a rule of life.
Yeah, no, I just thought that was cool.
I need
Doodles
a weed.
Anonymous.
And I just... Yeah, that's just do that. I don't know. How much cash can somebody carry around with them anyway? Like, he probably lost like $30.
I have no cash.
No cash. I try to always have at least like $5 in ones in case I need to tip somebody.
I have none.
Yeah.
Yep. So here's the real story. Okay.
Okay.
Onlooker celebrated as a suspected arson fire damaged a former hotel in Germany. That was being converted into a Middle East refugee home. Because you know there's various countries from around the world that are taking in Syrian refugees.
Right.
So the Germans in the neighborhood not only set the place on fire before it could be completely renovated for refugees, but they also gathered around the fenced property and cheered as it burned.
Did you want to make me sad?
No, and this isn't sad, Cole. This is interesting to me because what are we going to do with these people? Like, it's clear they need to not be where they are.
You don't
and
leave home.
And it's also clear that we're not going to be able to change where they are.
You don't leave home unless home is the mouth of a shark.
But Cole, there is nowhere for them to go, mm-hmm. and we can't make where they are better.
Right. It is a really complicated situation. I don't think mob justice in terms of burning down a house and then cheering that they're going to be trapped where they're from is a good way to do it.
But there is no solution. No one is willing to take them.
Right.
I mean, there are countries that are. I think Canada is like, mm-hmm. you know, they took like 20,000 or something like that. You know, there's civic groups and churches that are sponsoring whole families to come over.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. It's in the political stuff. Like, all the presidential candidates, at least on the Republican side, are arguing about, you know, what their fence is going to be made out of.
Yeah. Like
Trump is going to mine kryptonite. And I don't know.
Are you likening Trump to Kevin Spacey's character from Superman Returns?
I think so. I have no idea. Everybody's talking about, well, mine will be 3 feet higher. Mine's going to have jungle monkeys on top. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with these people, Cole? You have nowhere to put them. We have to colonize Mars.
Right. But that is less of a them problem and more of an everybody else problem.
Well, it more immediately it's a them problem. Long term, it's an us problem.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that bringing them into another country is a good idea. I think you got to find a place so that's not populated and say, hey, like, we're gonna draw some lines,
like we did with the Native Americans. Yeah, it's definitely complicated. I guess in regards to the original story, I don't think setting a building on fire and then shearing is the right way to go about it. I would prefer that those decisions not be made by mob rule.
Well, I guess I would prefer that these governments make decisions based upon the feelings of their citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do some homework. You know, this neighborhood isn't too receptive, as obviously they aren't, then maybe pick a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think you got to have some foresight here.
It's complicated. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You can't dump like a bunch of stuff in a crucible. The melting pot is not real anymore, man.
It never was.
Well, you know, I mean, it'd be like pouring like a cup of cold water into it. You're going to get burned.
it's going to like aerosolize and set the house on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad news. I don't know.
There was a good episode of Dan Carlin's podcast about that. That like, oh, the history of humanity is a history of like migration. And like, that's why this is such a fraught kind of topic that does need to be considered, you know, very deliberately, but also, you know, humanely.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no place that's going to open, you know, until they figure out the whole terrorist thing.
I don't know. It's depressing.
They're just going to keep burning houses.
It is depressing, and it's really hard not to fall into despair about it.
Not really. I mean, it doesn't make me feel bad. I mean, it doesn't. It's a real problem that needs a solution, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's not. Are you going to feel worse if there's a terrorist attack from one of the refugees that you bring in?
I think that is such an exceedingly small possibility. And I think that like we are way too willing to throw out, you know, just actual, we're way too willing to throw out nuance in the name of security.
Have you ever been around somebody with AIDS?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Like interpersonally, like, hey,
mm-hmm.
Did you feel weird about being around them?
No, because I know how AIDS is transmitted.
Right. And I do too, but I still felt weird.
I don't know. Like, it just
like sitting at my desk, you know, just like a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm looking in a file and it's like, oh, HIV positive. And I'm in one hand holding papers that they just handed to me. And I was like, and I dropped them.
I mean, but like you can separate the quick thinking and the slow thinking there. Like there's a part of you that has your first initial reaction, but like that shouldn't be what dominates the way you do things, right?
No, I mean, he knew what was going on because there was this hard swallow, and then I said, "You're gonna have to excuse me."
Well, that's no good.
No, that's not what
happened. Okay, cool. But yeah, it just, you know. I would never take somebody's first reaction away from them, but I think that whenever you are dealing with a huge population or something that has huge implications like this, that first impression or that knee jerk probably isn't the instinct you should follow. You know,
like maybe like if your first instinct is to burn something.
Yeah, I would say don't do that.
Okay.
Unless you're dealing with the thing, maybe don't break out the fire as quick as you did.
Cole, do you know what happens to people who take time to think? They die.
Yeah, at least they died thinking, and they didn't die killing somebody else.
You can't forget we're at war with terror.
We're not
terrorism.
At fucking war.
Yeah, we are with terror.
Yeah,
that's what we are.
Makes me
the
sick.
Global war on terrorism. That's a medal that they're giving out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. The air base here in Mansfield, they just deployed.
Yeah, it's a...
In the global war on terror.
It's a farce.
No, that cartoon strip you invented is a farce.
Cartoon strip, what?
Yeah. I don't know. Thinking about things that could be farces.
Yeah. Looking at this here, there's a guy in Florida who is setting out to do something that I think is actually impossible.
Okay.
I don't, it's weird. I can't imagine how anybody would pull this off, but he's an artist, performance artist who, is seeking out to, make his next grand work, staring at a picture of Ted Cruz's mouth for 2 hours straight.
Have you seen the threads all over the place that ask if Ted Cruz is the Zodiac killer?
There's a poll of Florida residents. It's like 38% say it's likely that Ted Cruz was the Zodiac.
I think that the last Zodiac killer killing was like 2 years before Ted Cruz was born.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's, like, you know, this is still out there, Teddy.
Yep, you got to deal with it, man.
I think that if on Google, if you type in "is Ted," it autofills with Cruz, the Zodiac killer.
I was actually shocked to hear that Ted Cruz was born in 1970. That is a rough 1970, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah,
he is terribly young. Yeah, people, yeah.
Yeah, just,
but he does look like the Zodiac killer. Have you seen the sketch?
Yep, I've seen the sketch. I've seen all of the composites and stuff like that. Like, and you know, I understand people died, so it's kind of fucked up to laugh about it. But just the fact that he can't shake it is really funny to me. It is a funny meme.
Have you seen the pictures that of Vladimir Putin at various times in history?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, yeah, Vladimir Putin's been alive for at least 1,000 years.
Is it like the end of The Shining where it's just a long zoom into a picture to reveal Vladimir Putin's in the
old photo? It's incredible. He's everywhere.
Huh.
Him and Nick Cage have been leaping around history.
Oh, they're quantum leaping.
Right.
No, but this but this guy is going to stare at he's going to be on stage staring at a picture of a giant photo of Cruz without breaking eye contact. He can blink. He can blink, but for 2 hours. He's calling it his Ted Gawk.
How much is this going to cost?
I don't know. I feel like he's doing God's work. Oh, man. He says, his face perplexes me. How can someone be happy and smiling, but give you the same feeling that they're not happy, but at the same time give you the feeling that they are not happy or smiling? I feel like I'm staring at the abyss to see if there's any glimmer.
There is no glimmer. There is not a candidate in the field of anyone that I want. There is no one. Not from Ted, not from anybody.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
They're all equally bananas.
When you're looking at a picture of his mouth, you're looking at the collective consciousness of whatever we think he is. It might be easier to do it in person. So he's asking Ted, hey, can you come into the same room with me and just for 2 hours and just let me stare at your mouth? Hey Ted, you got a shitty mouth. There was a neurologist.
Mouth, boy.
There was a neurologist who put out an article called "Why Ted Cruz's Facial Expression Makes Me Uneasy," and again we're back to the micro expression kind of thing. No matter what the emotional coloring of Senator Cruz's outward rhetoric is, his mouth typically tightens into the same straight line. If he deviates from this, then the corners of his mouth bend down, not upwards. The outside of his eyebrows bend down too when he emotes. Something so atypical that it disturbs me. Typically, a person's eyebrows arch up, as does the corrugator muscle that furrows the forehead. What is such a downward face signaling? When I look at Ted Cruz's face, he looks the way that I feel when he talks. And I saw somebody online characterize that Ted Cruz's face looks like what Tina Belcher's sounds like. It's like that, like her little moan. That's more of a Teddy, but I love that show.
It is good.
But yeah, no, 2 hours of staring into his face.
Hey, Colt. The U.S. Postal Service, or the USPS, has apologized to residents along an upstate New York mail route because they received blood-stained mail.
Nor snow, nor rain, nor dark of night, nor massive hemorrhage from my head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the mail carrier evidently had knocked his side mirror on something and then attempted to adjust it so that he could see out of the scraps that were left. Cut his finger. He thought that the bleeding had stopped, but then continued his route, giving people blood-stained mail.
That's alarming.
Yeah.
I don't know.
On his 60-mile route.
60-mile route. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Upstate.
Huh. I'm just picturing, like, just him getting tips of, like, sutures and bandages around Christmas time. Like, everybody having a good laugh of it.
I don't know. I think I would have left it, like, unexplained.
Oh, yeah. Just like, hey, this is, for some reason, everybody who sent you mail. So that's kind of funny because, like, who establishes the pattern? Right? Like, what? So no, just like who establishes the pattern? Because if I got some mail with like bloody fingerprints on it, I would take a note of it. I don't know that I would call the post office. Like that doesn't seem like something I would do. But like, are these neighbors conferring, saying this is really weird? Right?
I would panic because of Zika.
Of course you would.
It's coming for your babies.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I think it was a crazy coincidence. If it was in October, I probably wouldn't say anything.
It's the new program. Spooky mail.
Spooky. Nah, yeah. You know. Mm. Be like, you know, I don't know. What podcast was it they were talking about the game the other day?
Probably Reconcilable Differences.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it was a good game.
Are you talking about the Michael Douglas movie, The Game?
No, just in general. Like whatever game's happening.
Oh, The Game.
Yeah.
What?
That's the way that you could get into a conversation with normal people. Like I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about The Game. That's how you cross your world with the rest of the people in the world. Because they could take that for like you did. It could be the movie The Game. It could be a basketball game. It could be anything.
Oh, okay.
The game of politics.
So if you walk up to somebody and say, how's the game treating you?
Yeah. Like, hey, did you hear about that game? Wow.
Huh.
Yeah. No, that's a dangerous game.
I know about the game. That's like, oh, the game is, if you think about the game, then you've lost the game, something like that. And that's really dumb and stupid to my mind. It's a waste of thought, but like, so they were taught, this show, when they were talking about this is a podcast about podcasts now, when they were talking about it, were they saying like this is a conversational life hack?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is.
Huh.
Yep. Talking about listening to a podcast about the game. People are like, oh my God, podcast is so much better than radio.
As we've demonstrated.
Right. They wouldn't let us say the stuff on the radio.
No.
Unless it was serious.
And that's the thing. There's no room for irony on the radio.
No, I mean, if we meant what we were saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. They'll never know.
They wouldn't ever know.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Want me to tell them what they can do, Chris?
Please. I don't care. Whatever. Do what you want.
Oh, leave a rating or review on iTunes. Tell your friends. There's the Patreon. There's also duckfeed.tv/news. Boom. Record time. Sorry, America.
Sorry, America.